Welcome to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast of the Miller Law Firm, providing you with the latest legal information related to the coronavirus and how it affects you, your small business, or your large business in South Carolina. I'm your host, attorney Melissa Miller of the Miller Law Firm, PA. Today I sit down with Jason Calloway, who is a member of the Board of Governors of the South Carolina arm of the Restaurant Lodging Association, as well as Chief Operating Officer and Managing Partner of Baking Brothers Restaurant in Greenville. Without further ado, let's talk with Jason and get our first clue. Jason, welcome to the podcast. Tell me about your organization, the Restaurant Lodging Association, and specifically the South Carolina arm of the Restaurant Lodging Association.
Yeah, so the National Restaurant Association obviously is the big monster in the room. We have chapters in every state and in every county. And Greenville County has an upstate chapter, which I'm on the board of. We have, I think, 15 board members, and they range from insurance business to hotels. So kind of trying to represent every sort of sector that affects the industry itself. And it's important to know that in South Carolina, the restaurant hospitality industry employs is responsible for about $23.8 billion in revenue. And we're the largest sort of industry in the state. One in every 10 jobs comes out of the hospitality industry. So when we talk about the impact of COVID-19, it really does affect 5 to 6 million jobs, maybe more, in the state. And then obviously that's just direct jobs, and then all the supporting that goes with that. People at, food distribution companies, people that work in meat processing plants, or Coca-Cola. I mean, you name it, just about any business is impacted by it. I was speaking to a friend of mine that owns a wine distribution company yesterday. He's fortunate to some degree because they have sales in grocery stores, but they'll still be down 50%, and they've had to lay off and sell a truck and lay off some people too. So it impacts just more than just, your bartenders, servers, managers, frontline employees. So with that said, the South Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association is responding as best we can. Obviously, they're a lobbying arm, and we have a lobbying arm. And advocacy for our industry has an ear directly in Washington. So obviously all of our members were asked to reach out to their congressmen and senators to ask for more support. Plenty of articles written on it right now. It's really one of the more impacted industries in the country is ours, because it's a luxury thing. People don't have to go out to dinner. They can go to a grocery store and cook for themselves. But when times get tough, it's the first thing to go to usually. But now this is different than like 2008, when people made the decision not to go out because we had an economic collapse. This time it's, our governors and federal governments are telling us you can't go into a restaurant. So it's a completely different animal, something I've never seen before. Obviously no one has. So, so the Restaurant Association's been doing quite a bit of different things. They started first by trying to raise some money for people, and they've immediately suspended all their organizational dues. They started what's called the Restaurant Employee Relief Fund by the National Restaurant Association. That's a grant, so people can go to reref.us to donate to that if they'd like to. I think they've already awarded all the first round of grants, and they have to just kind of load up the coffers of money again and do it again. So there's an application process. So people that want to apply for that grant can go to reref.us as well to try to get that. And they've been doing some other things too, to help out. ServSafe is a course that's required in the state of South Carolina by the Department of Health, DHEC. In every restaurant, you have to have a ServSafe manager present at all times. So if DHEC came in to do an inspection, for instance, you have to have someone there that's certified in ServSafe management. I have 6 employees on my staff, including myself, that are ServSafe manager certified. But, that course costs anywhere, depending on how you do it, anywhere from like $130 to $170 to do per person. And right now it's free. So that's free. Serve Success, which was launched last year. Actually, they launched at the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago. They have every year in May of last year. And Serve Success is really the industry's answer to certification, because a lot of people in our industry start, like I did, in a dish room or somewhere else in the restaurant and move throughout and maybe spend their entire careers and don't really go and get a traditional education. With Serve Success, this is more of a way to for you to get sort of certified that you are good in certain areas. So there's different tiers of that. So there's kind of like your frontline employee tier all the way up into your upper management tiers that you can get certifications for, which is great. You put on your resume and you can take that with you from job to job. And that doesn't expire, whereas ServeSafe certification does expire every 2 years. So they've also partnered with the American Hotel and Lodging Educational Institute. This is mostly hotels. So this is a bunch of hotelers. It's a very big, I think it's a 501c3. So it's also a big nonprofit that really focuses on education in the hotel industry. And they're also offering all of their certification courses for free currently. So it's a good time, if you're stuck at home, to do these things, go through these courses and get all kinds of accreditation when you wouldn't have time really necessarily to do it, or you certainly would have excuses of why you didn't have time to do it, and or the money. The money's a big factor. That Serve Success is pretty expensive in comparison. So
absolutely. Thanks for providing that information for podcast listeners. What is the South Carolina arm of the Restaurant Lodging Association doing currently to help local restaurants during the pandemic in terms of lobbying local legislators? I know you talked about on a national level, but what about the South Carolina legislature or legislators?
Well, I don't know who they're talking, what directly lobbying we're doing currently. Most of what I've seen as far as our efforts have been in education and trying to get people the information they need to, because a lot of restaurants are trying to sort of stay open. And so what they've been doing is sending out the white papers on the PPP and getting everyone educated on how they can get those loans through the SBA. There's problems with that too. I think we'll probably be moving towards, I know I just read an article this morning from the chapter out, I think in Minnesota or Missouri, can't quote me on that, but and they're trying to currently nationally advocate for some amendments to the current CARE Act, because what's really uncertain is when we reopen our restaurants, and you have a June 30th deadline to use your funds. Most of us, if not all of the restaurants, have laid off a majority of their staff, because there's no, our business model isn't for to-go food and that sort of thing. But that said, the South Carolina Restaurant Lodging Association has also been educating their members on sanitation for to-go items. DHEC's offering a free course on that currently, where people can go and learn how to sanitize properly and keep food safe for travel. Obviously, it's a challenging thing to get food to people. They come pick it up and, it's different than serving it directly in a restaurant where the temperature when it leaves the restaurant or the kitchen. Now it leaves the kitchen at the same temperature, but the time span starts to change. So some education on that for free as well. That's not mandatory, and it won't be included as a grade. So if people do that, it doesn't affect their grade on their door, the A, B, C, D, if you wanted to go all the way down. But some of the lobbying that they're doing, mostly would be towards some of the CARE Act provisions and making sure there's enough money in the coffers coming to South Carolina for restaurants, and making sure we're communicating to our legislators how important our industry is to the state. And so that'll continue. And that's always been sort of what we do anyway, so that's just going to continue as it is. And then also what we've always done is, what the SRLA has always done is educate its members too. And people that aren't members, they get some of this information by proxy. So, that's pretty much what we see happening. And I know we're all trying to figure out when we can open our restaurants again. That's a big thing.
Well, that brings me to my next question. When do you see restaurants reopening in Greenville and the surrounding area?
Well, I think that's kind of a two-part thing. I think, you know, I'd love to see somewhere in the second week of May restaurants opening. That's really going to be determined by the numbers on the ground. You know, we've had this, our third extension now. So there's nothing that says that we wouldn't have a fourth. But with the third extension, you would expect to see that second week of May restaurants opening. Those that were closed down through this entire process are going to have to spend a few days preparing what they need to prepare to get the restaurant up and running again. Not to mention trying to get our employees back in. You know, there's a lot to figure out around that. So if somehow we can get it the second week of May, that'd be great. Now, that doesn't mean that the restaurant industry is going to be the same. When we open the doors, I think it's going to be kind of strange. I just went to the grocery store, as I was telling you earlier, and you know, most people wearing masks and definitely sort of nervous about getting near anyone. I don't see that changing very much in 2 weeks. So I don't know how that affects the restaurant. I'm assuming we're going to have to reduce some of our distance, or remove some of our tables, or capacity will go down. I don't know what percentage they'll pick for that. I don't know how they're going to legislate that. I just don't know how it's going to happen yet. We haven't heard any word or any information on that. I don't think anybody really knows yet what to do. So,
presuming that you are able to reopen, is that a target date for Bacon Brothers as well? Presuming
yeah.
that you're
if
allowed to reopen.
We're able to open, we figure we'll need 3 to 4 days preparatory work, depending on what day it lands on. If it lands on a Monday, obviously, it'll take us near at least a few days to get the restaurant ready to run, at least. So if it's that second week of May, would be, you know, the 15 days is up, I think, May 1st, somewhere thereabouts, if I'm not mistaken. So that would give us that week and then the second week of May to open fully. And we have to remove tables, and I'm sure create a bunch more space in the restaurant.
Well, best of luck to you. I know I speak for myself and a lot of people in Greenville who say that they miss Bacon Brothers and were excited about the reopening and hopeful that it will be the second week of May as anticipated. Do you have a contact number for potential members of the South Carolina the South Carolina arm of the Restaurant Lodging Association, Jason?
You were kind of breaking up there. Did you say a contact number for?
A contact number for the South Carolina arm of the Restaurant Lodging Association.
Yeah, one of the best ways to get there is to go to their website, which is just scrla.org. That's really the best access, because there you can see all the news, the current news that's going on with the South Carolina Restaurant Lodging Association. You can also click to register for any of the upcoming seminars, which are all webinars currently. And that's a really good place. And all your contacts for your area, because you may have a listener that's in Anderson or Spartanburg, obviously wouldn't be in the same arm that we are here. So they would be able to link up and find who their representative is, their member representative in their area. That'd be the best way, I think, is go to the website. You get a lot of information there too about membership.
Absolutely. And again, that's www.scrla.org.
That's correct.
Well, thank you again, Jason, for your time. You have been listening to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a presentation of the Miller Law Firm, PA. This has been your host, attorney Melissa Miller, speaking with Jason Calloway. Until our next Clue, thanks for joining us.
You have been listening to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast of the Miller Law Firm, PA. This has been your host, attorney Melissa Miller. For more information on the Miller Law Firm or to contact one of our attorneys, you may visit us at our website, www.themillerlawfirmpa.com, or call us at 864-527-0413. Thank you for listening. Until our next Clue.